Well, I want to welcome you again to Rafael this morning. Thank you to the worship team. Thank you to the worship leader. Thank you for everybody who had part in service so far. I really just have a sense that the Lord is here among us as we are worshiping. And so I'm excited about what happens when the Lord shows up. So last week, we talked about forgiveness. I'm just going to recap last week a little bit because today is kind of a continuation of that. And last week, you'll remember I had little handouts. I have some more handouts for you again, so I'm going to have my helpers pass those out. Feel free to use these as we go throughout this morning. And as they hand them out, I'm going to do a bit of a recap of last week. So last week, we talked about forgiveness and this idea of freely you have received, freely give. That God's forgiveness is the basis for our forgiveness towards one another. We looked at the parable of the unmerciful servant, and we saw that we all have this great, unimaginable, unpayable debt that we have been forgiven. And since we've been forgiven that debt, we can therefore forgive others who sin against us. So forgiveness, we also talked about forgiveness is recognizing that what Jesus did on the cross is bigger than what that person did to me. That what Jesus did on the cross is bigger than what that person did to me. And so when we choose to forgive another person, we're recognizing the immensity of what we've been forgiven, and therefore it puts us in a position of being able to forgive those who hurt us and wrong us. So we're going to continue looking at forgiveness this morning. And I have to confess, this week I said, Tom, I know you're in Alaska, and I know you're away, and I know I don't want to bug you, but Tom, I have a question. I said, I'm looking at this sermon for Sunday, and it's not going to all fit. I said, can I preach the 19th as well? And he said, go for it. So this is I guess, part two now out of three now sermons on forgiveness. And I really have been blessed by what the Lord has been showing me about forgiveness as I've been studying this, as I've been listening to teachings and reading God's Word. And so I hope that the Lord blesses you as well. And as we talk about forgiveness, it can be a topic that we've heard about before, that we've heard teaching on before, or that we've walked through in our life before. And so this morning, recognizing that this may be something that a lot of us have heard before or know from previous experience, I would ask that we come and say, perhaps God would have something new to show us. That perhaps He would show us something new and fresh this morning. And it's not, Pastor Austin has something new and fresh. We ask that the Lord has something for each of us this morning. And so I'm just going to pray as we start, asking that the Lord would reveal something new and fresh to us. God, we come before you. God, you know our hearts. You know who we are. We just bring all that we are before you. And we say, Lord, we ask that you would show us something new. God, that we may have already received teaching on forgiveness. We may have already walked through forgiveness in areas of our life. But God, we ask that each of us will be blessed with a new understanding, a new revelation, just a little bit more of what forgiveness looks like. God, I thank you that it's not my job to reveal those things, but that is your job, Lord, and that is your heart to show us those things. And so we come to you with hearts open to hear what you have to say this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we start this morning, I want to talk about what is the importance of forgiveness, or why is forgiveness important? And I think, first of all, we recognize that forgiveness is a command of God, which kind of ranks it up there with being important. So God says, forgive one another. Secondly, I really believe that unforgiveness in the body of Christ significantly limits God working in His people. Because when we have unforgiveness amongst us, we have disunity, we have bitterness, we have hurt, we're harboring this unforgiveness, it limits what God can do in His body. And I really think that across the worldwide church, but also across the church in America, this unforgiveness is one of the reasons that has held back God from moving in our communities, in our churches, in our families. That unforgiveness is really this thing that can hinder and hold back. And I really believe that it's a tactic of the enemy. That the enemy is at work trying to get us to not forgive, because he knows that when we do that, it hinders the Lord from working. So that is why forgiveness is important. And in the same way that forgiveness can hinder a group of people corporately, the body of Christ, from God working. I think individually, when we have unforgiveness in our hearts, it puts a blockage between us and Christ. In Matthew 5, 23 and 24, this is the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "Therefore, if you're offering a gift at the altar, and there remember your brother or your sister has something against you, leave your gift there at the altar and go make it right with them, reconcile with them before you offer your gift." That Jesus placed such a high importance on reconciling and forgiving one another that he says, if you come to worship me, if you come to honor me with a gift, and you remember that I have broken relationship with one of my brothers, leave your gift there, go reconcile with them, and then come back to me. So Jesus puts this high importance. And then later on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, verses 14, Jesus says, "For if you forgive other people who have sinned against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." And again, we see this connection between the forgiveness we've received and the forgiveness that we're commanded to offer to one another. He continues by saying, "But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Now, I don't think this is an issue of salvation. You know, how many people did you need to forgive before Christ died for you? None. You know, Christ freely extends his offer of forgiveness. I think this is an issue of maturity. As Christians, we limit our maturity with Christ by harboring unforgiveness. That unforgiveness puts a separation between us and God. And that when we harbor our unforgiveness in our hearts, when we harbor bitterness towards one another, we can't be in right relationship with God. And so forgiveness is getting our heart right with Christ. Forgiveness is getting our heart right with Christ. Forgiveness is getting our heart right before God. That when we have unforgiveness, there's a discontinuation, there's a break between our relationship with Christ. So why is forgiveness necessary? You know, well, because we have to forgive because we've been hurt and we've been wronged by people. I mean, if everybody was perfect to us, if everybody treated us nice, we wouldn't have to forgive. You know, if nobody did anything wrong against us, we wouldn't have to forgive. But unfortunately, that is not the world we live in. And we have to forgive because people have hurt us and people have wronged us. So everybody isn't nice to us. We've been lied to. We've been rejected. We've been overlooked. We've been slandered. We've been cheated. We've been put down. Some of us have had somebody close to us, maybe a family member or a close friend, betray our confidence and turn on us. Some of us have been hurt by the deep words of somebody that we love. Some of us have been hurt by the lack of words, the silent treatment. People have gossiped about us, gone behind our backs, misunderstood us, and taken advantage of us. And it's because of these hurts and wrongs against us that we have this necessity to forgive. And God has given us this tool called forgiveness to bring healing to these situations. I had a friend who, when he was in high school, he got a job working with a company. And after high school, it became a full-time job. And he worked there, you know, it was 5 days a week, and occasionally he'd be required to work Saturdays. And after a while, it became expected of him to work every Saturday. It started out with just, you know, a few hours in the morning just to get some work done, and then it became, you know, into the afternoon, and then it became full days on Saturdays. And it didn't bother him that much that he was working Saturdays. It was the fact that he never felt appreciated for all the extra time that he was putting in. He began to feel taken advantage of by his boss. And one day while he was working, his boss came to him and said, "Hey, you know, when you finish up with this, can I see you in my office in a few minutes?" And totally caught off guard, my friend was blindsided by a meeting with his boss and his supervisor. And he walks into this meeting, and they have a conversation with him, and one of the things they ask is about working an occasional Sunday. And while he didn't really want to be working 7 days a week, he said, "You know, if it was busy and we needed it, you know, I could work an occasional Sunday." And soon enough, every once in a while, the occasional Sunday became twice a month. And his boss often referred to their meetings, saying that he had committed to working that much, that he'd be going back on his word if he backed out of this. And these surprise meetings continued to happen, and each time, caught off guard, my friend would find his words being twisted into a commitment to work more and more and take on more responsibility. He began having to work over 50, 60, or sometimes 70 hours a week. And he enjoyed most of the work, but for all he did, he never felt appreciated. A simple thank you or we really value you as an employee would have gone a long way to cover over the wrongs against my friend. And all of us, like my friend, have been wronged by people. Maybe it was your employer, maybe it was your neighbor, maybe it was a sibling, maybe it was a parent. We've all been treated wrongly, and forgiveness doesn't deny what has happened. Forgiveness is not saying that what somebody did to you is okay. Forgiveness is not saying that what somebody did to you is okay. We don't have the authority to give somebody else permission to sin. When we forgive someone who has sinned against us, we're not saying that what they did is fine or it's okay. We're saying that what Jesus did on the cross is bigger than what they have done to us. So in the same way that forgiveness is not saying, oh, it's okay or it's fine, on the other side, saying it's okay is not forgiveness. If I wrong you, let's say I get angry at you and I punch you in the face, bam. And then later I come back and say, I'm sorry. And you say, oh, it's fine. Well, if it's fine, then why do I need to be apologizing? And what's going to stop me from doing it again? I'm not very good at saying, I forgive you. It's not a phrase that I grew up saying frequently. And so when somebody comes and says they're sorry for something, I find it more natural to say, it's fine, or I forgive you. Or it's fine, or it's okay, instead of offering forgiveness. But if someone has been convicted by God that what they did is wrong, and they come to you and ask for forgiveness, saying it's okay contradicts the conviction that God has given them. So forgiveness is not saying that what they did is okay, and saying it's okay is not an appropriate response to I'm sorry. So my awkwardness of not being able to say I forgive has often led me to a response of saying it's fine or it's okay. This past week, me and a close friend were planning to get together, and we've both been really busy over the summer, and so we haven't been able to connect for a while. And I was really looking forward to spending time together. The whole week, I was excited about getting together with this friend of mine. And so I show up to where we're supposed to meet, and he's not there. And I wait, and I wasn't sure what to do. And his phone wasn't working, so I couldn't get in contact with him. And I'm just waiting there. And my excitement about meeting with him turned into an annoyance at my friend. It's like, ugh. I don't know if you've ever felt like, ugh. I feel that way sometimes. And so finally, I was able to contact my friend by calling one of his parents and finally getting in contact with him. And due to some overbooking and lack of communication on his part, he wasn't able to make it. And I'd been looking forward to this all week. And on the phone, as I'm talking with him, he goes, I'm sorry. And naturally, I want to say, it's fine. We'll get together some other time. But I remembered what he'd been teaching. And so when he said, I'm sorry, I said, I forgive you. And it was so much more freeing to say that than to say, it's fine, we'll get together some other time, because it's not fine, but I forgive him. So it's just a simple story about learning to say, I forgive you, instead of, oh, it's okay. So we don't try to excuse sin, we forgive it. And even if what they did didn't bother us, it's still not appropriate to say, oh, it's okay or it's fine. If somebody comes and apologizes for something, you can say, I want to let you know that what you did didn't offend me, didn't hurt me, but I forgive you. So we have to forgive people because they've hurt and they've wronged us. And forgiveness is not saying that what somebody did is not wrong. And also, forgiveness is not saying that what somebody did not hurt us. Forgiveness is not saying that what somebody did not hurt us. When somebody betrays our trust or manipulates us, or tramples on us, we carry that pain. Some of us carry the pain of what others have said to us or done to us. And forgiveness doesn't deny the hurt that we've experienced. It doesn't help to pretend that it didn't hurt. Sometimes we think, if I just ignore the pain, it'll be resolved. If I just toughen my skin and pretend that what they did didn't hurt me, then we'll be able to move on. But forgiveness is not about denying the hurt. If I have a broken arm, ignoring the pain that I feel doesn't bring healing. And in the same way, understanding doesn't bring healing. If I tear my ACL and I understand how an ACL works, where it is, and how I tore it, that doesn't bring healing. In the same way, if somebody wrongs us, if somebody hurts us, and we go, well, you know, I understand. They, you know, they grew up in this type of situation, so that's why they, and I, you know, I understand. That's not forgiveness. We're saying, well, you know, I understand they were having a bad day at work, and so that's why, and so I, you know, I understand. You know, we're not called to justify somebody else's wrong actions against us. Understanding doesn't bring healing. Denying the pain and denying the hurt doesn't bring healing. Forgiveness brings healing. Forgiveness doesn't deny the pain that we've experienced. Forgiveness says that what Jesus did on the cross is bigger than the pain that that person has caused me. So my friend who was feeling taken advantage of by his boss began to harbor a resentment and a bitterness towards the company. And he continued to be worked like an animal. And when he would try to ask for some less hours, his employer would use his own words against him, claiming that he had agreed to work the schedule that he was working. And wanting to be a man that honored his words, even if they were misinterpreted, he fulfilled his apparent commitment. So my friend began to look for another job. He realized that he couldn't stay where he was forever or he would burn out. He'd be exhausted. And so he wasn't sure how to bring up this conversation with his boss that he was looking for another job. He knew that just giving a two-week notice wouldn't be enough time to find someone to fill the position that he had at the company. And so trying to respect the company, trying to respect his boss, he let them know, hey, I'm looking for another job. And when he did that, again, his boss referenced to a meeting they had had a few years earlier, where they had apparently asked him how long he thought he would be staying at the company. And he said off the top of his head, you know, maybe 3 to 5 years. And they took that as a legitimate commitment. And so his boss said, well, you can't leave yet. You've committed to at least this much. And so again, wanting to be a man that honored his word, a man of his word, even if it was misinterpreted, he stayed on and continued working at the company until his apparent commitment was over. I want to close with one final thought about forgiveness. And that is that forgiveness is not a feeling. In fact, I want to suggest to you that your feelings can be your enemy when it comes to forgiveness. Forgiveness is a choice. If you're waiting for a warm, gushy feeling to just wash over you and then you'd be like, oh, it's okay, I forgive. You may be waiting for a while. Maybe waiting forever. See, forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is a choice. I believe that God has given us feelings and emotions. You know, God has given this wide range of emotions that we experience throughout our life. And God has given those to us as a gift. But in the same way that God has given us human desires that we need to submit to His guidance, we need to submit our emotions and our feelings to God's guidance. My feelings about something, my feelings about someone, are never a valid excuse for violating God's expressed will for me as His child. I once heard that feelings are like a caboose. They can give an indication of where the train is going, but they shouldn't lead the train. And when it comes to forgiveness, we need to surrender our feelings to God. To say, you know, God, this is how I feel. These are the emotions I have when I think about this situation. But God, I surrender them to You. God, I want You to guide my emotions. I want to place a higher priority on following Your word and Your guidance than following my emotions. Forgiveness is a choice that you can make. Forgiveness is a choice that my friend made. After working at the company for more than a year and a half to fill his commitment, he was finally able to find another job. And even though he moved on physically, he wasn't able to move on in his heart towards his former employer, towards his former company. He still held that bitterness and that resentment for the way he had been treated. He still had that anger and that hurt for the way that he had been taken advantage of. For the hours that he was unable to spend with his wife and his family because he was spending that time with his job. 2 weeks ago, I was talking with my friend. And I was sharing about forgiveness that I'm talking about here at Groffdale. And we talked through forgiveness. And last Saturday, he sent me a text. And he said, I know that I needed to hear what you're preaching about. I've been holding on to bitterness from hurts from my former employer. With you sharing with me, I was able to release that. There's a real freedom since I was able to forgive them and release the hurt. And when I called him yesterday asking if I could share his story, one of the things he said, he said, yeah, feel free to share my story. He said, I wish I wouldn't have held on to the bitterness for that long, because I wish I would have forgave earlier. You see, forgiveness is real. Forgiveness is a choice. Forgiveness is about getting our heart right with God, choosing not to let what somebody else did to us stand in the way of our own relationship with our Heavenly Father. Forgiveness is about getting our heart right with God. And so this morning, I invite you to ask God to show you where you may have some unforgiveness in your life. To not deny where you've been hurt. Don't pretend it wasn't painful, but bring that pain to God. And as you think about the wrong done to you, you don't have to justify it. You don't have to say, well, I understand where they were, or it's okay, it wasn't that big, but to bring that situation to God. And I invite you to take those feelings, those emotions that come up, that when you think about that situation, or think about that person, and bring it to God. And surrender those feelings and those emotions to God and say, God, in the midst of the hurt, in the midst of the wrong, in the midst of the feelings and the bitterness, I choose to walk in obedience to you and forgive. And so if there is a situation that has come to mind, as I've been sharing this morning, if there's a person, if there was something that happened to you that comes to mind, I invite you to hold that before the Lord as I close in prayer. Lord, search our hearts and reveal to us any unforgiveness that we may have toward one another. God, we thank you for your act of forgiveness toward us. This morning we surrender our emotions and our feelings to you. God, we ask that your precepts, your will for us as your children would guide our feelings and our emotions, would guide our actions. And so as an act of obedience to you, we choose to forgive and release those who have wronged us. We no longer hold them responsible to answer to us, but we release them to be accountable to you. God, we trust that you will bring us freedom as we walk in obedience to you by extending forgiveness to one another. God, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your forgiveness. Amen.